Word. Thank you for your Spirit. God, thank you for hope. Above all, thank you for hope. Lord, I praise you that you've given me this opportunity to be here. I love you. I love your church, Lord. I believe in the church, God, because it's you. It's all about you. It's not about us. It's not about programs or plans or even sermons. It's about having an encounter with you. Lord, may that be what we have tonight, an encounter with you. I love you and I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, and amen. Have your Bibles this evening. Turn with me to three scripture texts. I want to talk to you this evening on my last sermon on the subject matter from a worm to a prince. From a worm to a prince. People go, is that in the Bible? I'm going to prove it to you. Isaiah 41:14, Genesis 32:28, and Hebrews 11:21. Again, Isaiah 41:14, Genesis 32:28, and Hebrews 11:21. And while you're doing that, thank you for giving. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. What do you say? Thank you. I don't know what to say. Thank you. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it very much. I did this for 21 years, traveled full-time as an evangelist. Let me know this week that I did not miss it as much as I thought I did. I've been in a hotel room by myself, alone. I've gone to bed alone. I've sat in the house or the room during the day alone. Of course, that's my choice. After 1 or 2 o'clock every evening, I make them take me back and I don't talk to anybody. I just stay there until they come to get me about 10 minutes till 7. But I don't miss that part of evangelizing, being by yourself. I've become somewhat of a homebody. I haven't had shop withdrawals too bad this week, but I have shook a couple of times. So I thank you so much for giving. What I really appreciate you giving is your time. Time seems to be real valuable these days. We've done everything to make our lives better, and we have less time. Well, it used to take me 5 minutes to cook a little thing of tomato soup or so, however how long it took the pot to heat up and it go blop, 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 blop. Now I put it in the microwave for 1 minute 45, 2 minutes, nuke it till it glows, it's done. It seems like it ought to save me time, but for the life of me, it seems like I run out of time. But I appreciate your time this week. I hope that you got something out of it. And tonight, only thing I can say about tonight is that this is not on my agenda to do. This is something I felt like the Lord gave me between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. And it's thrown together. And this is what I feel like God wants. Somebody tonight, I believe with all of my heart, God is going to give them an opportunity to make a change in their life. Every one of us ought to be looking for a change. Change is good. The people that say that they don't want to change will never achieve anything. I don't believe in evolution like the evolutionaries do, but I believe in evolution to a certain extent. Things evolve. No one drives a 1941 Packard anymore every day of their life. Matter of fact, you don't see many 1941 Packards anymore unless they're in a museum. they evolved into other things. Like they don't even make Packers anymore. They just quit. It sort of died. And something else took its place. There has to be some kind of evolution. Please don't think I'm cussing. There has to be some kind of growth to us. I'm not what I was when I got saved. My son is 32 here in a couple of days, the 24th of this month. He no longer goes goo goo, gaga, da da, da da, da da, da. If he did, about 3 years old, if he was still doing that, or 2 years old, I would have took him to the doctor and found out what's going on. Because I expected my son and my daughter to make progress in life. I expected the education that they met to change them. It was up to me to govern the education, by the way. Now I'm going to be blunt here for a second. In North Carolina, when my son was about 8 years old, they were passing out bananas and condoms in school. Do you, anybody remember that? I had a boy who come home talking to me about it. I think it was 10. I wanted my son to know from his father the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. School was going to teach him something. I was going to prove something to him. How life really was. God wants to prove something to somebody tonight. That change really, really can happen in your life. Listen to these stories. Three of them. All about one man. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. God calls him a worm. What about that? A maggot, a slug. That's what God called him. Genesis 32:28, and he said, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with man, and you have prevailed. Did you get that? One minute he's a worm, and the next minute he's being called a prince. That's a big change. Hebrews 11:21, now, but by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of his sons of Joseph, or blessed both the sons of Joseph, as he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. You've heard the story before. If you find a frog, you can kiss it, and maybe it'll become a prince. Well, I didn't come to tell you about that one tonight. I come to tell you about a guy who's a worm, who's a lowlife, who's one of the lowest characters biblically that you can find under the guise of one of God's creation. His name is Jacob. His name means heel snatcher, deceiver, con artist. Well, that's one translation, the way they put it. A man that is not of good quality, not of good character. He is a man that if I was hiring somebody to work for me, I wouldn't hire this sucker. I promise you I wouldn't. He knew how to manipulate. He knew how to connive. Boy, y'all are looking at me funny like I've cussed. You say, you're talking about one of God's children. You're talking about one of God's biblical characters. You're talking about Jacob. Yeah, I am. I'm talking about the maggot Jacob. The lowlife Jacob. The guy that everybody hated. But the person that hated Jacob most was Jacob. Now, that don't apply to anybody in here. Nobody ever feels that way about themselves. Just if your name's Jacob, and if your name's Jacob, I'm not picking on you tonight, okay? My son-in-law's name's Jacob, so I reckon he's a worm. No, I'm kidding. Great guy. This man is. How do I want to put it? Inbred deception. You say, what? Well, y'all, you know, we marry our sisters down here where I live at. I figured I'd get your attention there for a second. You were looking at me sort of funny. I mean, he is inbred deception. He's an inbred liar. Now, you have to know something about liars. If you don't have a liar in your family, you won't understand this. But my brother has been married 6 times. If he was here, I would say this. He'd give me permission because he is not that person anymore. He's been married 6 times. He's gone through 6 different relationships. He has struggled with his life because my brother Vaughn is a habitual liar. Always has been. He will tell you, if he was up here, he'd lift his hand and go, amen right now. Because that's the boy's nature. He lied. The first word he ever said out of his mother's womb was a lie. He lied on me. He lied on my other brother. He took mom's china one time, slammed it down in the floor, and Todd, now you got to understand, Vaughn's 11 years younger than me, and Todd is 16 years younger than me, and I'm the old guy. And he took the china, threw it down in the floor, and when mom came home, pointed to Todd, and Todd got the beating of his life because he broke mama's china and never did it. Should have named Vaughn Jacob, because he said, I can lie better than I can tell the truth. I pastored him for several years, and now he's going to another church with his wife, and he's told me one time, said, I can lie, and it makes me look good. I can be anybody I want to be because I've learned the art of lying. And I mean, the art of lying has got him some great jobs, got him some great things. They didn't last because his lie caught up with him. You say, well, I thought you were talking about Jacob. I am, but if you've never run into a liar, you really don't know what they're like. My brother, it took him years and the Spirit of God and somebody to love him to speak life into him where he would quit lying. And now he can testify how God has delivered him, how God has broke the yoke, how he's not a liar anymore, how he brings himself under subjection to the Spirit of the Lord, and that he is truly a new creature in Christ Jesus. And oh, by the way, all along this journey, my brother was striving to be a Christian. Did you get this? Jacob was raised in a family that taught him. Now, you have to understand something just for a second. Jacob was a man that was wretched. But he got it honestly. Now, you're probably not going to like where I'm going to go with this. But his mama taught him how to do it. His father showed him how to be partial. His father loved Esau. And the only reason that dad loved Esau was for this reason, is that his son Esau was a great hunter. And his son Esau could make some of the best venison or savory meat that probably his dad had ever eaten. And he loved his son because of his son Esau, because he could take care of his natural senses. That's only probably one of the reasons that he really liked the boy or really loved the boy, is that he satisfied his flesh. On the other hand, Jacob's mother loved him. She loved him so much that it was 70, ready for this? Give you a little biblical knowledge. It was 70 years of age before he ever went on his first date. Jacob was 70 years old before he ever went on his first date. Read how old he was. took that long to get a boy or a wife. He had a mama. His mama taught him a lot of skill. His mama taught him a lot of art. One of the arts that his mother taught him was how to deceive people. You say, my God, you're talking biblical characters here. I'm doing exactly what I know to do tonight here. And that is do my best to close this the way God wants it closed. God is desiring to change us. You ready? All of us have lie in us. All of us have deception in us. Every one of us have hypocrisy in us that we either nurture. You know what it means to nurture it, don't you? That means to feed it. That means, ready for this? To make excuses for it. You ever seen the mama or the daddy that makes an excuse for their son or their daughter? I know mamas and daddies that have gone bankrupt to keep their sons and daughters out of prison, and they'll tell you this, he's not a bad boy. I won't argue that he's not a bad boy. He's just full of sin. And as long as you coddle him, as long as you protect him, as long as you lie over him, as long as you never own up or never get him or her to accept the responsibility. I remember this. I shall assume the responsibility for my actions while in school daily. 5,000 times. Mr. George Ledford. I had a tendency to talk in school, and he had a tendency to make me write that quite a bit. And the last time I had to write it was 5,000 times, so I taped 3 or 4 pencils together, and I started, and it didn't work. So when I got to school, back when you could paddle in school, he had the bottom slat of a desk with holes bored out in it, and I grabbed my ankles, me and my cousin Barry, Rocky Millwood, and somebody else, and he took us to the end of the hall, and you could hear him light us up. And when I got home that day, my father happened to find out that his son wouldn't shut his mouth. Hang out with me. Wouldn't obey authority. Wouldn't listen. And this is what my daddy did to me. He said, I will not have in my house a boy that lies, a boy that won't obey authority. I won't have a boy that will shame my name. And he whooped me again. Now you probably think he's low down, sorry, no good for nothing thing. I sort of really am glad that my dad disciplined me. Because somewhere Rebecca didn't discipline Jacob very much. She just told him, it's okay. I love you. Your mama loves you. Go on, baby. And you find this guy's life getting wrecked. Not only is he wrecking his life, he is wrecking everybody's life that he comes into. He's tearing everybody's life up. Everything he seems to touch is. Look here. He lies to his brother, deceives him. His brother said one time, the next time I see you, I will kill you. Now that's a great kind of relationship to have with your family. Huh? Help me. That's a great kind of relationship to have with your family. Everybody wants to walk into your family homecoming and go, if he comes over here, I'm going to kill him. And that's the kind of person Jacob was. He deceived his father with the help of his mother. His brother Esau was redheaded. When he was born, the Bible said that he come out woolly.
In other words, he had hair when he was a baby.
Yeesh.
Anyway, I can see a little Chewbacca coming out going, oh, you know. Oh, God. A little Wookiee, yeah. Oh. You know, you're a chia pet. You're a rabbit, you know. So his mother, when his father wants venison and is going to bless the son, takes goat hair and goat stink and venison smell and pastes the goat hair on her boy, roughs up his face, and sends him in with a pot of savory meat, venison, to his daddy. Not only does he deceive his brother, he deceives his father. He deceives his father in the fact so much that his father blesses him instead of his brother. Now, his brother's not mad at him one time. His brother's mad at him two times now. Just hang out with me here for a second. I'll finish. But I'm telling you that Jacob was nothing but a worm. That's all he was ever taught to be. His environment helped form him. His environment helped make him. But I need to say something here about environment. You can't go through your life blaming your mama. I got a daughter patting her mama on the back, rubbing on her, going, you're a good mama. That's what she's saying to her. You are telling her that, right? You're a good mama. That's my interpretation, at least, right? She's patting her mama on the back. You can't go through your life blaming your mama for your mistakes, your father for your mistakes, your last name for your mistakes. You can't do that. You can't go around blaming somebody else. You know, I'm a tweaker because. You can't do that. I'm a junkie because, or I'm a liar because, or I'm a... You can never do that. But Jacob had it all down pat, and everybody was okay with it, except God. You know the thing about God and Jacob? God loved Jacob enough to let him go to the end of his rope and nearly hang himself. Because there's another person that Jacob gets in trouble with, and that's his father-in-law-to-be Laban. Of course, Laban's not much different than Jacob. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. I mean, Jacob works 7 years for his daughter, Rachel, and winds up with Leah. I mean, he goes into his tent on his wedding night thinking that he married her, and when he walks in, he goes, "What are you doing here?" She goes, "Baby, I'm yours." And I hear him go, things that make you go, huh? Walk in on your wedding night to another woman there. I mean, and it ain't the one you want. And he goes out of the tent to the father-in-law and says, "Dude, what are you sick or something? What kind of daddy would give his..." He said, "Son, if you really want the other girl, you're going to do the time." Hold on. Undoubtedly, the other one must have been hubba, 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 hubba. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Huh? You know her. Yeah. Hubba, hubba. How y'all doing? I mean, because I don't know many guys that are going to work 7 more years for the one he already thought he had. You say, "You're messed up. You're messing this story up." No, I'm telling it. I'm telling it in the redneck version of how it ought to be. How it really is. Jacob is a deceiver. He deceives. He connives. He lies.
until he has a new encounter with God. And his new encounter with God is a wrestling match. Can I talk to some people here just for a moment that are wrestling with problems? Can I? Thank you. I got a guy going, yes, you can. I like him. I felt like I was at a Bill Engvall comedy club all of a sudden. Yes, sir. Here's my sign. You can tell me. Thank you, by the way. Can I talk to the people that have issues like Jacob, that feel like you're... a worm? And you don't like yourself? I got people lifting their hands. I like this. I got honest people right now that are sitting here lifting their hand. You can tell me, because I don't like myself. It's not that I got them shooting two hands up now. It's not what everybody else is thinking about me. It's not what everybody else is saying about me. Ready for this? It's what I know about myself. It's the real me when nobody else sees me. Do I have any wrestlers in here? Now, when I say wrestlers, I'm not talking about collegiate high school wrestlers or college wrestlers or anything like that. I'm talking about personal wrestlers. That you wrestle with yourself. And that you wrestle, ready? That you wrestle with powers. You wrestle with principalities. You wrestle with rulers of darkness. You wrestle with spiritual wickedness in your own life. You have things that eat at you day after day. And you've just come so far in life that you've almost give up on yourself. It's painful, isn't it? It's painful when you get to the place. Now, she did this, so I'm going to talk to her. Y'all take a nap. Now's a good time to leave while I got my back turned. If you don't want to hurt my feelings, I've already got your money. I mean, I'm trying to make you laugh, okay? Y'all are looking at me like, no, you're trying to make your mind up. I know about me. Whether you like me or you don't, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to turn my back, talk right here for a second. And if you need to leave, run. But it's painful, isn't it? It's a painful thing when you feel like others gave up on you, but when you give up on yourself, and you feel like, don't tell nobody, but without sounding arrogant, one night I had the motorcycle, I had everything, I had the nice little boy, the nice house, the nice car. I had a Mercedes Benz. I had a nice church, you know, pastor guy. So I wake up. Well, I wouldn't sleep. I get my 9mm and I rack one in the chamber and I go out in my Mercedes. I think you're going to die in style. And I put the gun right here. And I sit there and I contemplate and I think, because I know where you're at, because I've been there. And I got to tell you something. If it's okay for me to talk to you, you lifted your hand, so undoubtedly it's okay. It's okay. I've been there more than once. Because once that spirit ever gets a hold of you, that you're no good, that nobody cares, that you'll never achieve, that you'll never get out of this, that you'll never be any better, that, you know, that's when you do keep tweaking. That's when look, I'm 58, and it's been a long time since I've done a real chemical drug, but I don't have teeth in my upper head. I think I got like 7 because I used to snort crystal, you know, the sliver crystal, the old
school, you know. You know, because I was a speed freak. And I would eat speed every day of my life. And I eat a lot of acid, strawberry mescaline, windowpane, purple microdot, blotter acid, black star. You know, I'm looking at my hippie. So, I mean, it's been a long time. But listen to me. The first time I did it, I never caught it ever again. So, you understand chasing it. Anybody that's chasing something in here, you understand what I mean by chasing.